Alrighty, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry M. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from California. Today I'm calling in from Hawaii. Today is Friday, December 10th, and we are going to be reading from the Big Book, Chapter 11, A Vision for You, on page 152, the second paragraph, which starts, "Yes, there is a substitute." Today's readers are Jordan L., Christina J., and Laura W. The reference number for Thursday, December 9th, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 18,214. The reference number for Friday, December 10th, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard meeting is 18,220. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Linda B. to please read the 12 steps.
Thank you, Sherry. I'm Linda B. I'm a compulsive overeater from Ontario, Canada. And here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for this opportunity to be of service. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Linda. And now I will ask Christina M. to read the 12 traditions.
Thank you, Sherry. Good morning, everyone. My name is Christina M., and I'm a compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Christina. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We need a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, and I will be timing. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 152, the second paragraph, and I will now ask Jordan L. to begin reading.
Hey, good morning. thank you for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in normally from Colorado, but in Las Vegas, Nevada this morning, and grateful to be absent and on the meeting. Yes, there is a solution, and it is vastly more than that. It is the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, or in our case, Overeaters Anonymous. There you'll find release from care, boredom, and worry. Your imagination will be fired. Life will mean something at last. The most satisfactory years of your existence lie ahead. Thus we find the fellowship. And so will you. this is an interesting paragraph. I'm not sure that I could describe to someone who was not a compulsive overeater that had found, I think of this paragraph as describing the fourth dimension. It's mentioned a couple of times early on in the Big Book, especially by Bill. I think Bill was probably the one who coined that term. It's mentioned first in his story, and then again, and there is a solution. And the fourth dimension, it's talking about that sufficient substitute, you know, like it's talking about what it is that we find as a result of working these steps. So yes, I find abstinence, which God willing is permanent and like here to stay, you know. But I also find a new way of living. I also find a new way of thinking, a new attitude, a psychic change, a new way of like propelling myself through life, you know. The third step talks about we used to propel ourselves through life with self-will, as most people do. And so this kind of like replaces that self-will. Not that I lose my will, because I don't, But it sort of replaces like my attitude and motivation. And I find like a new way to use the will of myself. And this describes it, freedom from the care, boredom, and worry, and imagination being fired. And especially that line, life will mean something at last. I can't describe that to someone who hasn't experienced the futility of existence. I know how special it is for life to mean something at last because of where I came from, because of what a hellish and isolated existence it was living as a compulsive overeater in active addiction. And so now, like this very special thing, right, day-to-day life, it has a very special meaning to me. Because I know the depths of what it can be in active addiction, you know? So I'm very grateful to be a member of this fellowship today and to be able to be of service to it and to be able to serve as an example of it to others if they think they might have a problem. It's the 12 steps really, like, it really changed my life in a profound way, and I'm grateful to have found that. And it's all because of this disease, like, that's where it starts with. So thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Jordan.
From New York. I need to know what page you're on.
Yes, we're on page 152, the second paragraph. Thank you so much, Jordan, for your share and for getting us started. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared Wednesday or Thursday, we ask that you step aside and let others share. Go ahead and start giving me your names, and I'll write them down, and we'll get started.
Mary B.
Tamara J.
Melanie C.
Kathleen O.
All right, there was somebody in between Mary B. and Tamara J. It was Mary B. and then there was... I'll tell you who I have so far. Mary B., Tamara J., Melanie C., Kathleen O., and Dave B., and I'm certain that I missed somebody between Mary and Tamara.
Cynthia C.?
That's it.
Elaine from New York.
Babylonia A.
Okay, that's a great lineup, and I'll tell you who I have, and then we'll, if I missed you, we'll get you on the next round. We have Mary B., Cynthia C., Tamara J., Melanie C., Kathleen O., Dave B., Elaine C., Christina J., and Babylonia A. So let's go ahead and get started, Mary B. Go ahead.
Thank you, moderator. Good morning, my fellows. This is Mary B., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Phoenix, Arizona. Yes, there is a substitute, and it is vastly more than that. It is a fellowship in Alcoholics Anonymous. There you will find release from care, boredom, and worry. Your imagination will be fired. Life will mean something at last. The most satisfactory years of your existence lie ahead. Thus, we find the fellowship, and so will you. I've been in Overeaters Anonymous a number of years, and the first 34 years of it, I never felt a part of the fellowship. I was not willing to give up the food, much to my chagrin, and I suffered for it for many, many years. I thought if I did give up the food, I would become stupid, boring, and glum. What would my life look like without the food? Because my life was saturated with the thought of when am I going to get the next compulsive bite? Where am I going to go to get the next compulsive bite? Another thing I realized as we were reading this marvelous paragraph today is once you take something away, you're going to have a void there, no matter what it is. And think about that. So I thought, well, if we take the binging away, what will my life look like? What will I be? And it was very, very disturbing to me. But since I've come to a vision for you, my imagination has been fired. Every single morning, I am on this call. I am listening to you, my fellows. And I am inspired. I know I am loved. I know I'm cared for. I know I found people that live the life, same life I profess to live. And that's a life beyond my wildest dreams, living in the 12 steps, helping others, being a part of life, being a contributor to life. Holy cow. My life, I don't even recognize my life today. And I'm so full of gratitude and thankfulness. And thank you again for being a part of my life, for keeping me out of the food today. I love you, my fellows. And with that, I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Mary B. And next up will be Cynthia C. Star one to unmute, Cynthia.
So sorry about that. I was having trouble. Mate, can you hear me?
Oh, yes, we can hear you fine. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, moderator, and thank you to everybody who makes this meeting happen today and every day. This is Cynthia C., recovered compulsive overeater and food addict from Newton, Massachusetts, and I am, oh my gosh, so beyond, truly, deeply beyond grateful to be on this meeting today. You know, my life has changed so radically, certainly in the 4.5 years since I've been in recovery, just changed. And it doesn't mean that everything is coming up roses and daisies every single day, but it means that the 12 steps, you know, and it means that when I can give my higher power the food every single day, you know, then, and I've worked the 12 steps and I keep in fit spiritual condition. And I, you know, do my 11 step prayer and meditation. I do my daily inventories. I when I connect in every day, then I now have the tools to just I have tools and I have steps and I have a fellowship and I have a sisterhood that helps me get through each day. You know, I always wonder how the people who don't have this kind of support, how they get through the pandemic, how they get through rough times, how they get through, you know, losing a loved one. You know, I would go straight back to the food if I didn't have these 12 steps in this group to guide my way. And I just have to say, you know, my husband and I yesterday started our first session of couples counseling. We've been married for almost 25 years, and our first session of couples counseling, we're dealing with some challenging issues, and it's our first session since I've been in recovery, and it was painful. Don't get me wrong. I mean, sometimes we feel pain, but I didn't binge over it. I didn't eat over it. I didn't run away. I, you know, reached out to friends. I can do 10 steps on it. I can process. And I know today that even though it's painful to look at my side of the street and where I have caused harm and I have caused damage in our marriage, that I can show up and I can be present in a way that, oh my goodness, beyond my wildest dreams, I could never do that before. And we're dealing with some issues that, you know, dig deep into my childhood trauma. And I just know today that I'm not alone. I'm not alone. I'm not abandoned. I am safe and protected. And I know that because I get those reminders every day when I keep in fit spiritual condition, when I connect in with my higher power and work these steps. So I just thank you all for everybody who's come ahead of me and guided me, and to all the newcomers, you know, thank you everybody for all the inspiration and everybody sharing their experience, sharing their help. I really look forward to hearing what everybody else has to say. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Perfect timing. Okay, next up is Tamara J.
Okay, I'm Tamara J. from California, and I love the fellowship of this program. The thing I found so refreshing about A Vision for You is the fellowship. And although this is a phone meeting, I have more individuals in my God Squad today than I've had in my other program in over 3.5 years. And although, yes, I've relapsed a few times in the last 9 months, I'm a different person today because of this program, the steps, and the big book. They're changing me, and they're allowing me to be a part of something that's wonderful, something that I couldn't have experienced before. I wouldn't even have allowed myself to experience it. So I hope everybody has a great abstinent day, and with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Tamara. And next up is Melanie C. Go ahead, Melanie.
Hey, good morning. Hey, hi. Hi, Sherry. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Oregon. I was so relieved when I came to the part of this book in my particular study where this was happening for me. I kind of go up a couple lines ahead in the other paragraph, and I use it all the time now with folks that I sponsor because they're talking about this line here. I know I must get along without liquor, but how can I? Have you a sufficient substitute? And I know that I was absolutely snot running, bawling, shoulders heaving, frantic when someone suggested that I lay aside some things that I might be allergic to. And I was smart enough to know that they were going to ask me to do that forever. And when I heard that there was a efficient substitute, what I have been gifted with is the ability to understand that this book has promises in it, and they mean it if I can, with help, follow what they're saying. And so I knew there was hope in that. And I give that same thing to my sponsees when they come in, because it's a very frightening thing. It's that life preserver idea. I'm going to rip that out of your hand. You're in the middle of this vast ocean. I'm going to rip that out of your hand, and you don't know how to swim. You don't know where things are going. I haven't been able to cross over the threshold to understand on the other side is complete neutrality around food. And it is an amazing thing. And Cynthia was talking about it too. It boils down to that triangle within the circle: recovery, service, and unity. Recovery is the steps part of it. The service is what we do here every single day by showing up in a variety of other things, by sponsoring and things like that, most importantly. But it's the unity. It's the fellowship that comes up. I have this group of women, my gals, not gals, but my gals, G-O-W-X, group of women that have been pouring into my life as a recovered woman for over 16 years. And not only that, we are in contact almost every single day, in contact. These women have twice the amount of recovery that I have, and their wisdom and pulling me through, being able to have that. I wouldn't have had that in my real life, because why? I do things that cause people to want to recoil from me by my nature. These women keep me on track, and I'm so, so grateful for it. It started with the food thing, bringing me across so that I could get a treatment for the obsession of the mind where the disease really lies. Thanks, I'll pass.
Thanks, Melanie. And Kathleen O., you're up next.
Okay, I was unmuting. I think you called Kathleen O.
Yes, Kathleen, okay. Go ahead.
Said you are now unmuted as she said my name. Good morning. Thank you. This is Kathleen O., recovered in Northern California. So I really wanted to comment on this paragraph because, excuse me, this fellowship is, it's so freaking amazing. You know, I came in to the rooms to lose weight. It was like, give me a diet, let me lose the weight, and I'm out of here. I didn't come in to make friends. I had plenty of friends. I didn't need more friends. I just wanted to lose weight. And so then I started to learn that food wasn't my problem. I thought food was my problem. Well, food's not my problem. The problem I lacked was power. And the solution to that problem was power. So I needed to get a relationship with power greater than myself. And how did I find that? I found that power through this fellowship. I found freedom. I found happiness with the help of all of you. You know, we help each other get there. And that is the amazing part of this program. You know, being on this journey of recovery together, it's where I've experienced all the miracles and promises. And I can tell, I am more comfortable sharing my problems, sharing my secrets with my fellows than I am my best friends. And you guys all understand me. I mean, everyone on this line understands me. People who don't have this addiction, they just don't get it. They don't get it. So I really need all of you and everyone who shares on this line, everyone who, you know, I've sponsored, who have called, who I've talked to, outreach calls. I mean, every one of you who have said anything on this line or I've talked to have truly, truly helped me, because I have this built-in forgetter, and, you know, I can easily forget that I can't control food. So when I talk to you guys, when I listen to you all share on this line, you remind me that I cannot control the food. You give me hope all the time. You just make life so amazing. So I just want to thank everyone who is part of this fellowship, and love you all, and thank you. I pass.
Thanks so much, Kathleen. Dave B., you're up next. Star 1 to unmute.
Good morning, everybody. My name's Dave. I'm a food addict from Port Townsend, Washington. Very quickly, I used to attend a gratitude dinner once a month down on a little island in Southwest Florida where I finally got abstinent. And I was also in the beverage program there. And every month we read this paragraph. It's actually from the beginning of the chapter. And then we would end on with this paragraph. And when we would get to, yes, there is a solution, the fellow who was always chairing the always sharing this, he had about, I don't know, 40, 50 years, whatever like that, he would bellow at the top of his lungs, and I mean bellow at the top of his lungs, yes, there is a solution, a substitute. And, of course, the newcomers who were in there or the people who were guests would be terrified by this. And then the whole room would just break out in laughter and just this whole relief. Because they knew it was coming. We all knew it was coming. We never failed to do it. And that's the thought I wanted to share with you. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience. And I'll never forget it. Thanks for letting me share, Dave, a food addict from Port Townsend.
Hey, thanks, Dave, so much for sharing. Elaine T., you're up next. Star 1, Elaine.
This is Elaine. I don't know if there's any other Elaine, but I'm Elaine G.
That's great. Go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, I like this paragraph because it's so true. I mean, I've been writing down notes like I usually do. And before I came in the program, I don't know, I didn't feel part of anything. In my family, it was like my father said to do this and you had to do it. You couldn't give your opinion. You know, my opinion did not count. And also I couldn't share about anything that was bothering me, you know. And so I went to the food, you know. And it started like, I guess in my teens, you know. I would go out, and then I started smoking as I was a teenager. And then I figured, while I'm there, I'll get my sweets. And that was my outlet, eating, you know, because my father yelled a lot. But anyway, also, when I worry, I have a God box, and I give it to God, you know. And then I let go of it, whoever I'm worrying about, or I'm worrying, or what things I can't control, you know. I was worrying. I know I should have put it in my God box. That I was looking for a sponsor recently, and I finally got a big book sponsor, and so grateful. And I prayed to God, please let this one be the one, because I've been looking for 5 weeks. But anyway, and I realized that these big book sponsors, they take the program seriously. These other sponsors, I don't know, they don't even want to sponsor, you know? because they put their names down and then they don't want to sponsor me. But anyway, having to do with the book, no, I don't get. I take care of myself these days, you know, physically, mentally, and do I ever get bored? No, hardly ever. And if I feel like I'm getting bored, I'll pick up literature, the big book, whatever other literature I have here, make a phone call. I don't have to, as I put in the book, be bored. And then life does have a better meaning today, because every morning when I wake up, whether I'm dead tired or not, I put up my coffee. I am ready for the day, once I have my coffee, that is. And I've been writing down, this is for years I've been doing this, and I have this friend of mine that takes my food, my gratitude list, and my action plan every day at 8 o'clock. And I look forward to speaking to her. And I also talk to her whatever things that are bothering me. I don't know, because she's like a food sponsor. Maybe more.
And for a reminder, that's time.
Oh, it's time?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm done.
Thanks so much, Elaine. Okay, Christina J. is up next.
Morning, everyone. Christina J. from the state of Washington, recovered for today. You know, I must say that the question here, have you a sufficient substitute for the liquor or the food? Yeah, program. Do you have a sufficient substitute for yourself? Yeah, program. I'm finding in my deeper recovery as I go along in this journey, over 16 months in now, food doesn't call to me anymore, but the old self does. The old subtle patterns of isolation. In the last few days, I've been slipping down into it. I didn't even know. I found myself online surfing more this week as I reflected back on the last few days at stupid shit and buying a few things I didn't need online. Last night was one of my worst nights ever. Dark night of the soul woke me up. And this paragraph is a testimony. The fellowship is a testimony to my recovery this morning. 7 a.m. meeting in the share so far pulled me out. Pulled me out, the fellowship. It's not like I don't call. I work with sponsees. I call fellows. I do my stuff. But the disease is subtle and deep, especially in the dis-ease and the discomfort of the soul, of the wounds that come forth with us and reveal themselves as we get cleaner and cleaner from the food, that we get to clean up with God's help and our fellows. The isolation away from my fellows in a deep, godlike way is painful. I was around people for years, but I wanted them to do something for me. You know, I wanted them to validate me, make me feel like I was loved in a surface way. I didn't know that I was going to need this program of recovery in a deep way to be in the center of the herd, to have these promises come true in this paragraph. Life will mean something to last. I pushed and shoved for almost 62 years towards a life I thought I wanted. And when that life got stripped from me, I was left fumbling, and I fumbled into relapse after relapse. And the food is no longer an option, and so I'm still fumbling somewhat, but I have tasted the bites of possible new life coming. And I do have imagination that gets fired from time to time. But I'm recovering from my previous life, trying to find me now in this new way. And the only thing that holds me steady is God and you guys. So this paragraph this morning, this is a testimony to where I am this morning, that it pulled me up out of this vat of autopilot numb and loneliness that I found myself in. And I'm so grateful that God brought me to this. You know, I don't think there's any mistakes. God knew that old life was killing me and wasn't going to ever take me to service, to using my gifts that he's given me and the way he wants me to use them. For my fellows, and for people that are suffering, not
that's
just to go out.
Time, gentle reminder.
Thank you. Not just to prove myself, but to prove him. I love you all, and I so appreciate your support. Thank you.
Thanks, Christina J. And before we take Babylonia, I just want to remind everyone where we're at so you can be ready for the next lineup. We're on page 152, the second paragraph. Yes, there is a substitute. And we'll be taking on some more names after Babylonia shares. Go ahead, Babylonia. Star one to unmute.
Good morning, everyone. I was about to drink a coffee and, like, because sometimes I overdrink coffee to suppress my appetite, but as soon as I got off the meeting, I threw it out. So I'm grateful that whenever I hop onto a meeting with you guys, I get strengthened in my spirit to not have any crutches outside of me except for the fellowship and my higher power. And I have grown a lot in this program. I've relapsed a couple times. I've been in for like 92 days now, but I know that I've grown. I didn't realize I was a compulsive exerciser. Now I realize that. I didn't realize I had a like religious OCD kind of, like I think I need to be thinking about God all the time and talking about God all the time or else conversations are meaningless, like kind of an obsession with God that he's like demanding and perfectionistic and expects me to be like focused on him all the time. And I'm realizing that is kind of like an obsession. And my mom said it really well when I told her, Mom, I feel anxious when I don't think about God. And she said, Babylonia, you always have to be extremely focused on something to pull you out of your misery. And that got me really thinking, like, I do that. And I think that's why I'm unhappy, because I have this, like, obsessive mind. And I don't know how to, like, have peace of mind. So I'm going to try to fire my old God and try to create a new God that is love. And I am Christian. I believe Jesus is my higher power. I just don't have the right conception of him due to whatever has happened in my life. So I'm looking forward to that. I don't know how much to connect to God throughout the day, how much to lean on him, because I don't know what's obsessive and what's going to help me in my program. So I'm a little bit lost as to that, but I know that'll solve. And I just downloaded a gratitude app on my phone, and I want to become more grateful and focus on the positive. So I'm looking forward to just counting my blessings and trying to see the good in life and enjoy life for once in my life, and with the help of this fellowship. Thank you for letting me share.
Perfect timing. Thanks, Babylonia. Okay, I'm going to stop this time. And before we take a couple more names, I'd like to remind everyone that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day, in order that others might share their experience too. Okay, it looks like we have time for 2, 3, maybe 4 shares. Who else would like to share?
Nadia B.
Noel.
Kathleen Wall.
Jody E.
Okay, I'll tell you who I have. So I have Nadia B. I think I heard a Noel, and then I missed a name before Jody E. Nadia
Deborah
B.
Noelle. Deborah G.
I think maybe that was it. That was after Noelle. Okay, and then if we have time, then we'll also get Jody E. So let's start with these four. Go ahead, Nadia B.
Good morning. Good morning, my spiritual brothers and sisters. My name is Nadia B., gratefully recovered in Connecticut. And this paragraph is so awesome. I'm so glad that I got to experience it. You know, here there is a substitute. You know, the substitute to what? Oh, you guys, you know, when someone asked me to put the food down, I was thinking, you know, it's like standing at the North Pole, butt naked. You're asking me to do this right now? This is how it feels. How am I going to survive this? How do you want me to stand butt naked while going through this most heart-opening work? Oh, my goodness. You know, and I've been in a Readers Anonymous at that point for 6 years. I never experienced fellowship before. And so I left my number at this meeting. And while standing butt naked at the North Pole with stripped down food, you know, putting every single thing down that I had doubt in my mind, finally becoming entirely abstinent. So uncomfortable, you guys. I've had this woman call me. I've had a call with my sponsor every day. This woman, rain or shine, showed up every day, nursed me back to what I thought didn't exist. You know, this health, this healing process, you know, no matter how uncomfortable it was, you know, I call it, you know, they brought me blankets. They covered me with love, care. You know, every day I remember a friend of mine, while I was on step one, called me every day. Didn't expect me to call her. She called me every single day saying, hey, what's up? How are you doing? How is your food? How is your meeting with your sponsor? I've never felt loved the way that I felt in this fellowship. Yes, there is a substitute. Guys, help us love you. Come, open your hearts. Do this work. What a substitute. Thank God for this fellowship. I don't think I would have ever known unconditional love the way that I've found it to be in this fellowship. I am so grateful for every single sponsor I've had over the years, for every single one of you that show up at this meeting, for everyone that calls newcomers, that
mentor
shows up
Lina
to lead the meeting. And yeah, with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Nadia. All right, Noelle is up next.
Hi, this is Noelle E., gratefully recovering in Louisiana. I'm so moved by all the service on this line. Oh, my goodness. It is the community of the world that I've prayed my whole life for. It just is so powerful. And that's what this paragraph says. You know, it's a fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. I just could never imagine being part of a more beautiful group that represents just humanity. And, you know how it says the most satisfactory years of your life lie ahead. I couldn't believe that. I still can't believe it as it unfolds, how true that is. And I'll share with you guys that I made an amends yesterday morning to one of my veterans in high school. She lost her daughter to SIDS 10 years ago. And I didn't go to the funeral. I just wasn't the friend I should have been in that moment. And so I made my amends to her, and she was, I don't know, just this beacon of love. And she told me that she just discovered, or her husband just discovered, that he's got a liver problem because for 10 years he's been drinking to cover his grief from losing his daughter. And she said, I've been, you know, praying for God to show me, you know, how to help him and how to help him see. And she's like, I've never known anybody in a 12-step program. You know, can you share with me what it's like? And I couldn't imagine the opportunity to be of service in that way. And she's a friend who's taught me so much, and higher power just works so miraculously, and I mean, everything is possible with our loving higher power. So I hope everybody has a great Friday. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Noelle. Deborah G is up next.
Hi, everyone. Deborah G from Arizona. And thank you, Sherry, for sharing and all those that make this meeting possible and all the shares. Wow. Thank you. Thank you for 12-stepping me this morning. Like what's been shared, I need to be reminded. I just love these meetings. And I was reminiscing when I first came into a fellowship of a 12-step program. This wasn't my first. And feeling that love and that care. They really cared about me and needed me at that meeting. I couldn't understand why I was needed there until later in my recovery. And it was just a beautiful, I'll never forget that feeling ever. It's in my heart. And then going through those beautiful 12 steps and getting free, getting power, getting a deep, deep relationship with power, recognizing the honesty that I needed to get honest with myself, with the lies and the delusions and the beliefs and the roles and all that I was telling myself so that I could open up a space for that power to come in. Power to come in, the care, turning my will and my life over to the care of that power, the boredom lifting, not feeling that loneliness anymore, and worry, having that faith. And that's what I'm experiencing today with that power, is because it changes. It has changed every time I go through the steps, is that faith. Really living that faith. How is my behavior when I feel that experience and that connectedness with that loving presence? What is my behavior like? And feeling that faith and experiencing that faith with that power is just so beautiful, so that I can do that with other people. And that's how my life has changed, because I'm not stuck in that self-centeredness all the time. I mean, it crops up, but it's not like all the time. I'm more at times thinking of others. How can I help others in the program or outside the program? Sometimes a smile to someone, you know, any way that I can open my heart and be of service. How can I help? Thank you so much.
Thank you. Jody E., we have time for a one-minute share. You want to take that? Okay, I think I will wrap up. Okay, so we will now close with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Christina J., please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning again, Christina J., State of Washington. Happy to be reading this today. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose to you, more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.